Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast, named after the fictional small town found in several of author Michael DeCamp's books. This podcast explores anything related to creativity. You'll hear interviews with creative people, such as authors, artists, performers, and entrepreneurs, sprinkled with friendly banter about any number of topics, all of which attempt to view the world through the lens of creativity. Turn up the volume and enjoy the latest conversations in Cutter's Notch.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast, your home for all things creative.
Yes.
And I'm your host, Mike DeCamp. I'm here with my
co-host.
My co-host. What shall I call her? See, here's the thing is that if I don't feel like I'm giving you a fair shake if I say co-host, it makes me feel like you're like lower grade, and that's not the case. We're equal.
Absolutely.
So we're co-hosts
together. Yes, we are co-hosts together.
Yes.
Nancy DeCamp. Hi, everybody.
I'm glad to do this with you. And I'm glad you put up with my idiosyncrasies. We'll call it that.
Okay.
We'll call that.
Okay. We'll go with that.
And we've got a guest. Mr. Bill Zehner is here.
Yes.
Bill and I have known each other for
a long time. Right?
28 years.
Jesus, that's long. That's a long time.
28 years.
That's pretty long since you guys are both 29.
Yeah. I know. We met in kindergarten in preschool. We'll get into Bill's stuff here in just a few minutes. But of course,
before that,
to
Mike,
kick everything off,
I want to hear from you.
I'm right here.
Creative indulgence.
My creative indulgence for this time. I forgot about this until a few minutes ago, and I realized, hey, I got a new one.
What's your new one?
It's I watched on Netflix, and I think this is appropriate for the interview conversation we're going to have. But I watched on Netflix a documentary on the rise of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh yeah, you were talking about that.
And the subtitle is "Our Brother Hillel." He was the guitarist.
Yeah.
When the Red Hot Chili Peppers first began, they all met in high school. And the lead singer and Hillel, the guitarist, both developed a significant drug issue, and Hillel ended up ODing. So this was kind of a memorial to Hillel. And I tell you, it was really interesting. I love the Red Hot. I can't even speak today. I love the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
I love their music.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would have liked it back then. Listening to them now, I love them.
So there's been a change in their style?
I don't know if it's so much a change in their style or a change in my taste.
Well, that could be too, right?
At any rate, it was a really cool show to watch and kind of sad, honestly, because they go up through and just beyond the passing of Hillel.
Yeah.
So great.
Interesting
show.
Backstory.
If you enjoy the Red Hot Chili Peppers, I would recommend that you go. I heard
somebody at the gym the other night talking about that documentary. So I was like, well, then it's not just Mike, other people.
I hadn't heard that, so I'd like to see
yeah,
it.
Yeah. You have to do that.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Big,
you know, they were
big fan of the Flea, their bass player.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Well, Flea, and let's see, the lead singer, is it Anthony?
Yes. Something.
Yeah. I guess Flea and Anthony were best buddies. In high school and kind of hellions. I think they
high school boys.
They got into a lot of mess, a lot of trouble.
I'm sure.
They pulled Hillel into it. So they ended up being a trio, and then they added the drummer guy. And then the next thing you know, they got a band. They had gone through a couple of iterations before it became the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but it's a great documentary, and you should go check it out.
I will.
Yeah. Nancy, what about you?
Well, as you know, maybe some of the listeners know, I tend to be a conservationist. So reduce, reuse, repurpose. I won't say recycle because I don't think recycling is really that great. I think that the intention of it is great. I think the actuality of how it has played out has not been great in our world. But what I have leaned into from a creative standpoint with that conservationist mindset is I have propagated several plants. House plants here in the house, they've given to me and divided them and moved them. And it's time to separate some more. So I asked my daughters recently, do you have some old coffee mugs that you don't want anymore? Because you collect coffee mugs about like you do t-shirts, right? You can just get a lot of them. And one of my daughters, I was at her house, she goes, yes. And she gave me a little bagful. So my creative indulgence is I'm in the process of taking those mugs and taking my plants and doing new starter plants into these cute little mugs to give to my friends. Isn't very that creative?
Cool. Very cool. Yeah.
Great idea.
Yeah. So that's my.
Just don't take any of my favorite coffee mugs and do that.
I'll ask first.
All right. Fair enough.
Well, Bill.
Yes.
What kind of crazy things have you been into recently? Great.
Thanks for asking. I've been trying to find more time to do pickleball.
Okay.
Since we're retired, we have to act like old people and play pickleball. we've been taking lessons on Monday over in Bargersville. There's a little place over there.
Yeah.
Three courts deal. So I'm not good at it. I have tennis elbow already. And
did you play tennis or any racquetball or anything in the past?
We took lessons on vacation one time.
Right.
Resort that, and we were the only ones that showed up for lessons. So we got one-on-one lessons for 6 days, and nice. That was great.
Nice.
But no, really haven't used it a lot. So
so many people have gotten into pickleball.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge.
It is huge.
But I've heard that so many older people are getting all kinds of injuries. Do you see that?
We had dinner with our good friends last night, and she has a major bruise on her elbow. She's all banged up on her right side.
Oh, my goodness.
And talking with a doctor friend earlier this past week, said there are more people my age with injuries from pickleball than there are just about anything else.
See, which blows my mind.
It's a safe sport.
Well, I do a combat sport. I train as a Muay Thai kickboxer.
Oh my gosh.
There's less injuries.
Well, let's face
that I experience in kickboxing than what I've seen other friends and associates experience with pickleball.
Well, here's the thing, Nancy. I think you would be doing what you used to do in volleyball in pickleball. You'd be diving for shots.
That I would get hurt. Doing that.
It's not as forgiving as the sand.
The sand volleyball, that was fine because that was a soft landing.
Yeah.
You know, as I got older.
So you'd be coming home with scraped up elbows and knees and sore hips.
And to be fair, in kickboxing, as we train, we wear pads and, mouth guards and all that kind of thing. And
I'm going to start wearing pads.
Yeah.
Might be
makes
wise.
Sense.
Might.
Makes sense.
Maybe knee braces.
Knee braces, elbow guards.
A helmet.
You know, there was years ago, Mike got me some rollerblades. I really wanted some rollerblades. It's been several years ago.
Oh, gosh.
But when he got me the rollerblades, I got knee pads, elbow pads, and the little hand gloves, and even had a helmet. And I can remember going out of the neighborhood at the time and, skating, and some little kid was like, "Hey lady, why do you got all those things on?" And I was like, "'Cause I'm older. And when I fall, I break. That's you right. don't."
Oh, that's cool.
Well, at least you were nice to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that time.
That time.
Get out of here, kid.
So we've got Bill Zehner here joining us for this episode. And the reason I asked Bill to join, and like I say, I've known Bill for 28 years as of this recording. And we met through work. He was a distributor. I worked for a company that they distributed. Then he left and became my competitor for about, 24 years or something. And, but we were always friendly competitors. We enjoyed, when we'd run into each other. And
I'm hearing all kinds of, industrial components does not sound like a creative thing.
Building it up.
I'm making a joke.
I'm laughing.
No, you're not. He's got a crinkle in his forehead. Laughing. If anybody knows Mike, when he gets the crinkle, we know it's serious.
I'm laughing on the inside. At any rate, this is our connection, right? So it was through work. And, I technically retired from the industry a couple of years ago. Bill retired from the industry just this last year.
Yeah, and, congratulations.
Thank
but
you.
All along, I used to hear about him playing music.
Really?
Yeah. And I didn't think a lot about it, but I knew, he's told me several times that he plays, we play guitar, right?
Bass guitar mostly. Yeah.
Do you really?
Yep.
And you're in a band, or you're in a more than one band,
a couple bands.
So we thought we would bring Bill in, let him talk about his music, maybe how you got into it, what you're doing with it now, and how did it transition in between, that kind of thing. So
sure,
Bill, I don't even know the name of your band's names.
Okay,
so jump in, tell us something about it, and we'll go from there.
Sure. Well, the current main band that I'm playing with is called Vinyl Escape. And just like the name, we play a lot of songs that come from vinyl albums.
Nice.
That was before my time.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Vinyl's become a lot more popular again.
Yeah, I've got a granddaughter that I just gave a bunch of albums to.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
She's into it now.
So. Well, for the first time in years, we actually have a record player again. So she can play
I've
the old vinyl.
I've been playing some of my old vinyl.
That's good.
The last few months.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
So it's called Vinyl.
Vinyl Escape.
Vinyl Escape.
Yeah, yeah. And we've had some nice success this year. We went and did a Battle of the Bands up in Fishers at one of the taverns up there. And we won the night that we played. And then we went to the finals and won that, which wasn't expected. We were basically just, filling space, trying to get some attention of some people, and yes, they liked us real well. So that was
awesome.
Great. It was
nice. Awesome.
We've got some really good talent in the band.
When are you going on tour?
Well, I'm free. I think everybody else is still working.
So. They still have their day jobs to deal with.
Yeah, sign me up. But we're having a lot of fun. We've got a lot of bookings this year. I think we have at least 2025 bookings through the summer.
That's great.
Oh, yeah, it's just every weekend, I think, with a few exceptions. The other band I play in is called Back in the Day. It's more of a classic 70s, early 80s rock band. We do time videos with the band. It's a lot of work, a lot of production. It's typically the kind of music you wouldn't see in bars because a lot of it's more complicated. So it tends to be more of a concert band. And it's a lot of work. So that band doesn't play as often, but I'm spending most of my time, I think, with the Vinyl Escape band, just having fun, a lot of energy going on, and a lot of good vocals. Everybody sings in the band.
So nice.
We have a lot of good harmonies. Really enjoying it.
Oh, that's awesome. So what are some of the venues that you're going to be playing this summer?
Most of them are outdoor concert series, like we'll be playing at Sweetwater Beach for their annual party. I think this is the third or fourth year in a row that we're doing that. We're playing in Remington, Indiana for a car show. We're playing up in Peru, Indiana for a deal up there. Whitestown, Heritage Lake, a festival out there. So it's a lot of festivals. We're playing in Versailles, Indiana, Greensburg, Indiana for some of their concert series.
Fun.
Yeah, it's just fun stuff. And tonight we're playing at the Garage over in Columbus.
Okay.
Yeah, small, so it's very local.
Yeah.
I think we're all mostly from the area, so it'll be fun.
How'd you get into it? How did you get started?
Oh, geez. I was 8 years old. I had boxes all set up in my room. I was going to be a drummer. I had drumsticks and boxes.
Yeah.
And I had asked for a drum kit. For Christmas, I got an electric guitar and no amplifier because kids should be seen, not heard.
My parents made the mistake of getting me the drum set.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm a great air drummer. I'm not so good
real drum set.
I have a drum kit, but I leave that to the talent. Uh-huh. But I got started doing that. Eighth grade, I had my first band when we moved to Plainfield. And me and a drummer, I was playing electric guitar at the time. And then all through junior high and high school, I played in several bands, played in a band with a couple guys from Avon, two guys from Plainfield and two guys from Avon.
Was it like a garage band or?
Yeah, pretty much garage band, but we played anything we could play. So we played the skating rink over on the west side. It's not there anymore. A Melody Skate Land. That's
I remember Melody. Yeah.
That was a great place.
Yeah.
and just some of the school functions and things like that. It was a lot of fun. We even just set up one day at the park and just started playing. And, and just had a blast.
Just draw a crowd.
That's great. I remember when I was a kid, down the alley from our house, the family that, I think the family itself was broken up. I think the husband and wife, they still lived about a block apart from each other, but the boys lived with the mom, and her house was about just the other end of the alley, and they had a garage band. And I remember them being in there playing, practicing, rehearsing. And here we are, these little punks that are just kind of coming and hanging around. We're like walking over their wires and threatening to trip on things. And I think we were very annoying to them. But
one of the challenges of a garage band, right? Yeah.
So to the Cantrell boys in Muncie, I apologize if I caused you any problem, but that's kind of cool.
So
but,
you mentioned playing guitar. You mentioned playing bass guitar.
I picked
just
up
just whatever.
I picked up somebody's bass guitar. I think I was a junior in high school. I played in the jazz band in high school.
Yeah,
electric guitar all through my senior year.
Yeah,
but I picked up in one of the garage bands. Up a bass guitar and started playing around with that, and I just fell in love with it. I thought, this is me.
Yeah,
I'm not really good at leads.
Right.
It just felt right. So I cut more grass and bought more equipment.
Yeah.
Finally got an amp.
I finally got an amp. Yeah. So, and then next thing you know, after I graduated high school, I auditioned for a band over in Indianapolis and started playing weekends with that band. And about a year and a half later, I was getting ready to leave my job and my band and move to Florida and try my luck there when I got a call from a friend and said, hey, this XYZ band is reforming and they need a bass player. And I put your name in the hat. Would you want to audition for them? I said, sure. So I did. And next thing I know, I'm playing six nights a week for the next 2 years.
Wow.
And it became a job because 6 nights a week, back in those days, you play from 9 to 3 in the morning.
Right.
And so it was like a job.
Yeah. So a full-time gig, right?
Yeah, I got really good at pinball. That's what you do on break. You go in the back of the room and play pinball. Mm. And, it was
somebody
it was
out
great.
There saying, what's pinball?
Yeah, I'm sure.
They have bars and arcades now
Yeah, it's made a resurgence.
A little bit. Yeah.
If you ever want to buy me a classic pinball machine,
I can go ahead and do that for you.
They're
a little salty.
We used to live down the road at our previous residence. There's a guy who repairs pinball machines. He had a whole garage work area. We could have gotten one from him, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably could have.
But he was known throughout town for years. If somebody wanted a pinball machine or needed some work, it was the dude down the street,
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I was going to get one of his pinball machines for our teen room at church. And so I went down, looked around, and they were all like, had really scantily clad.
Not the ones you would want at a youth group.
Yeah. Most of those back from the 70s had I think the one pinball machine I got really good at was the Playboy one. There wasn't any pictures that you would want to show your grandkids anything, but it was one of those deals. It was just so much fun to play. It had all the bells and whistles
So obviously music has been part of your life.
Yeah. Most of my entire
life. Can you imagine it not being a part of your life?
No, I can't. I got back into it. I left it for a little while to get all the kids out the house. A lot of things going on back in those days. And a band I used to play for was reforming with the kids of the band. And they said, you remember, so Max, it's like, would you be interested in helping them out? And I said, sure. And next thing I know, we'd been together for like 6 or 7 years. They grew up and moved on. But we played a lot of fun gigs. And next thing you know, I'm playing again. I auditioned for another band, the Back in the Day band.
Yeah.
And then this current band that I'm playing with, a guitar player from the Back in the Day band was playing with them and said, hey, would you be interested in sitting in for a gig for this band? I said, sure. So I did. Next thing I know, I'm playing with them all the time.
You're suddenly their bass player.
I'm suddenly their bass player, and I'm enjoying it. It's they're so much fun. There's so much energy.
Do you have a favorite genre or perhaps groups?
I have yourself. A really diverse taste. I mean, like you said, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
Rush. I'm going to go see Rush up in Chicago
After
one of our gigs up north.
Yeah.
but I also like just about everything. I even listen to a little country once in a while, but, Brad Paisley's one of my favorite country artists.
Yeah.
But no, I like just about everything.
Do you have any favorite bass players that you've been like, that person, I love the way they approach it?
Well, Geddy Lee from Rush. I think that would be my
that
idol.
Would be your number?
Yeah. Flea's pretty good.
Yeah.
From Chili Peppers.
I have one. That's why I'm asking
do you, really?
If you have one. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm into bass players. So when you said, oh, I play bass, I'm like, okay, you're instantly my best friend now.
I'm starting to get a little bit jealous. Yeah. I'm not a bass player.
I'll stay on the side of the table. Yeah.
But Verdeen White of Earth, Wind, and Fire.
He's an amazing guy, period.
Incredible. Yeah, period. I'm an Earth, Wind, and Fire fan. But I would say I dated a bass player at one point in time. That's how I kind of segued in to learn about bass players. Don't worry, he didn't last. You came in the door, huh?
I supplanted him.
There's so many bass players.
But I learned a lot.
There,
yeah,
so, throw one in now.
Yeah, I knew it was a big deal when he bought a fretless Precision. You know, I was like, I had to learn what that was, kind of thing. But so I was educated on bass players a little bit through that friendship, and but Verdeen and his style. Just, of course, that funk is specific, highlights the bass in a lot of ways. Yeah.
Yeah. I got into Earth, Wind, and Fire back in the mid 70s.
Yeah.
When they came out with Shining Star.
Yeah.
And everything else. So I had several, I'm sorry to say, 8-tracks. I was the one.
No, there really are people going, what's an 8-track? But I had a few of those too.
Did you? Yeah. Everybody else had cassette decks. I had the 8-track because. Just needed to be different. But I had some Earth, Wind, and White.
Fire.
Fire.
With Verdeen White.
White. But good stuff.
Yeah.
If you could have a jam session with any other guitarist in the world,
or
living or dead, who would it be?
That's an interesting question. I think of a lot of people. I think, Brad Paisley is one of the most prolific guitar players, writers, songwriters,
really?
Singers. Yeah, he is.
I don't pay that much attention to country. Yeah. There'll be songs here or there that I'll like. So
I'm not a huge country fan.
Yeah.
I just think he is
just really good.
I really admire him. I think I've got an autographed picture in my studio.
Nice.
Of Brad Paisley.
Nice.
But I'm a big fan of his. Vince Gill is an amazing guitar player as well.
We have seen him before.
Have you?
And speaking, he's playing with the Eagles these days a lot. Joe Walsh is on the on the Eagles. I can't play guitar at all, but man, I could just imagine having a jam session with Joe Walsh would be hilarious.
It would
and
be
fun.
Absolutely a riot, I think. Just watching him would be fun.
Yeah, watch his facial contortions And, I just think about that that guitar segment at the end of Hotel California is just off the hook, where those guys are playing against each other. They're playing off one another. And it was just, I can imagine that would just be a blast.
I'm sure it happens, but my experience has been limited other than one of the things that you see commonly in little pubs, Scotland, Ireland, is just everybody shows up with their fiddle, their guitar, their whatever, and they just play, have jam sessions. We don't have that kind of culture here.
Not really. Maybe in Owensboro. I was walking on the waterfront down there one night, and there was a bluegrass band playing. And believe it or not, two Japanese guys get out their acoustic guitars and start playing with
Start playing with them.
Yeah. That just blew my mind.
That's interesting.
And they were amazing.
And of course, Owensboro is the home of the Bluegrass Museum.
Yes.
So it's right there on the waterfront too.
I think maybe it's because maybe in smaller communities, you might find something like that. Everybody's getting together versus, a larger city, that kind of community gathering isn't quite as common perhaps.
Yeah, it used to be front porches, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
Think about the Deliverance with the banjo, the dueling banjos.
Yeah, that's not the kind of jam session that I was talking about, Mike.
Well, the dueling banjos was actually pretty good.
It was a great song.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was a great little musical segment in the middle of that wild off the hook movie, but it's one of those things.
Banjos are really hard to learn.
Can you play a banjo?
No. No, it takes a unique style of picking that I just never sat down and worked out.
Yeah.
But I finger pick the bass, but you know, it's a different type of picking. It's more like plucking than it is.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Using your thumb and all those other fingers, you know. So
what's the coolest place you ever played?
I played at the convention center one time. That was pretty cool. But I think the Indiana Roof.
Okay.
That's a very cool venue.
It's a cool venue. They had a great sound system back then. It's been, 20 years ago. But nice stage, good sound system. And they had these towers on either side of the stage. And you could walk up the stair, spiral stairs. And they had a window up there. So the guitar player and I both had wireless guitars. So we walked up there.
Oh, very cool.
Leaning out the window, playing a particular song.
Yeah.
Just having a blast. And, but the acoustics in there are great. It's a great place for ballroom dancing.
I bet with all the places you've been, you've experienced a wide variety of acoustics.
Yes. And I can think of the worst places.
Halls, like a gym or something like that. Or
yeah, those are bad because the floors are live. The ceilings are usually live.
Cause a lot of feedback or is it just echoing?
Or it just runs on and just turns into blah.
Yeah.
You know, people can't discern. All they hear is noise really.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's not fun. So with the back in the day band, we have tons of PA speakers and it's kind of intimidating to look at, but it's just to fill space. It fills the air.
Yeah.
Kind of helps take away some of that, you know, you're fighting acoustics, but,
are there any acoustic issues when you're playing outside?
You have to have, some pretty good subwoofers to kind of drive that sound out there.
Yeah.
And just not be too loud and just drive sound and not volume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And I usually put a bigger amp on stage for me. Cause I don't want to, I like hearing.
Yeah.
I like feeling and hearing what I'm playing.
Sure.
And, I usually bring a bigger rig when I'm playing outside.
Yeah.
We're small clubs. I just have a little small amp I project at me.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's fun.
What are some of the songs in your current repertoire for the vinyl?
It's a big mix. It's anything from we do Benny and the Jets, we do The Last Train, Midnight Train to Georgia, Miss You from the Stones.
Yeah.
We'll do some Journey. We do about three different Journey songs actually. We do some Foreigner, Feels Like the First Time. Just a wide variety of music. So we're constantly trying to find time to work in more new old stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
That's more in the vinyl years.
Because I'd imagine, is there a song that you're like, we got to play this again? And you know you need to play it. It's a crowd pleaser. It's what you're going to do what you need to do. But you're like, if I never play this again, it would be okay with me.
Freebird.
That one always comes up.
Does it really?
I don't know why, but it does. And I've spent my share of time playing Freebird. Yeah. But, you know, the songs like Taking Care of Business, Proud Mary, or as some people call it, Big Wheels.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. People used to come up and request Big Wheels.
You know that song, Big Wheels?
Yeah. Yeah, those songs I could do without playing for a while.
Yeah. But, I imagine.
I really enjoy playing just about everything that we do. So I can't think of anything that's a negative. You know?
You have a favorite song that you do play? One that you'd love to keep playing it?
You know, it sounds crazy, but Benny and the Jets, it's our version of it. It's tight. The little gal that sings it. She's got an amazingly powerful voice, and she just does a great job on that song. So it makes it so much fun to do that, Benny and the Jets.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
That's a fun song.
Yeah. And then she does some great blues stuff, too. And then Rich is our other front guy. He has all this energy. He's great with the crowd. He sings a lot of good stuff. Doors. I mean, just a little bit of everything. And he's got an amazing range and amazing voice.
So, yeah. I'm sure the variety helps.
It does. And, you know, we've got so many different ideas going on. You got the younger kids that are, I say kids, they're in their 30s.
Right.
They've got their ideas of what's good. And then we've got our ideas of what would be great. So, but everybody's pretty much open.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So if it's something crowd's going to react to, we want to do it.
Yeah.
You mentioned the blues. So you play some blues as well. Did you see the movie Sinners?
No.
All right, put this on. Now you're gonna watch the documentary, and now you're gonna, from a music perspective, I think you will appreciate it.
Well, I'm sure I will.
It's incredible. It's a combination gangster vampire flick, right? But it's all built around blues music, and there is so much amazing blues music.
And the visuals in it are pretty, the way they present the visuals and stuff. It was an interesting take on what I wouldn't typically care for a vampire kind of show, but it was.
Yeah, after Twilight, I was pretty much done with vampire movies. Oh my gosh.
Mike was forced to watch those with our daughters.
Turn her already. Why do you need all these sequels? Just turn her already. Like, good grief. I had to go see them all because my daughters wanted, I went with my daughters.
It became just a thing. Like, we went to the first one, then it became a thing. Oh, Dad's got to go to this one.
Yeah, I don't care if I ever see that again, but thank you.
You know, my most recent book is a vampire story, too.
Is it?
Yeah.
I might like
it's
that.
It's good. You I would might. Like this. It's my.
Just don't make it a movie.
Yes. No. If they would, I wish they would make it.
Yeah, right.
Sure.
I could do something with that. You know, if they'd make it into a movie, that'd be all right. So,
good.
Is there a movie that you think has just the best music to it? You could listen to that soundtrack over and again.
Don't laugh. I want to say Mamma Mia has a lot of good music in it, but that's the only one that just pops
with
in my
you.
Head. Yeah.
I'm laughing with you.
Yeah.
No, but it is very musical.
The movie, The Doors.
Yeah.
That had some good Doors music in it. There's some good music in the soundtrack to this new movie, Hail Mary.
We haven't seen that yet. It's on our list.
Yeah, I read the book and I had to go see the movie. So I took my dad for his birthday to see Hail Mary, and my nephews, and we had a blast.
Yeah. I've heard phenomenal things about that movie.
Stuff.
Our daughter, one of our daughters, at least, I don't know if both of them have, one of them has read it, and they both went to see it recently and they were like, it did not disappoint.
All right. Here's a test for you.
Okay.
Two episodes back, Nancy and I we did a podcast episode with just the two of us. And we were talking about a movie that was made with the Bee Gees in the late 70s based on Beatles music. And I could not think of the name of it.
Yeah,
it was driving me crazy.
We were sitting at each other like,
you know what it is?
Yeah, it's Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
That's right, right.
You know, believe it or not, I made my wife sit through that just about 2 months ago.
Really?
And she's still married to you.
Yeah,
that's pretty amazing.
She still likes me. I don't know why.
Yeah, you know, it's like I was racking my brain. I could during that episode, I could not think of the name of that movie.
And I wasn't helping him either. I was like deer in headlights.
She had no idea.
Yeah, I'm.
It's like you're in my same age bracket. You should know this. But I had the album. Went to see the movie. The whole thing. I used to know the whole soundtrack, and I just could think of it. Earlier in the week or last week, whenever it was, I was driving along and it just popped into my head, but it popped in my head as Dr. Pepper's Lonely Heart.
Dr. Pepper's.
So I had to fix that in my brain, but I finally texted it to Nancy and she's like, what?
No context. It was like, you know, several days later and no context. And he just texted me and I'm like,
I had to explain what it was.
Like, what? He goes, that band, the movie. I go, oh, okay. Okay. That,
yeah.
I gotcha now.
Yeah. It was, I'd like to say it was a good movie, but it was pretty cheesy.
Yeah.
It was pretty cheesy. And Peter Frampton's in it. So that's why I made Brenda watch it. Just because she was a big Peter Frampton fan. Said, he's still young and he looks good in this. And it was just horrible acting.
I think, especially, I don't think I was a fan of the Beatles when I was younger. I've always appreciated their impact and all they did. But the movie Across the Universe, I think, did an excellent job of their music.
Yeah, that's true. Now, you brought that up. That would probably be up there one of my favorite music movies.
Yeah.
Because I like the way they mixed everything.
In there. Yeah. They did a very good job with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you ever went to Vegas and saw one of the Cirque du Soleil acts, there was one, a Beatles one called Love, and it had remixed Beatles music in there. It was awesome.
I went to Vegas to see Donny Osmond.
Did you?
Yeah. I went to Vegas to see Marie Osmond. Yeah.
We actually met them too.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
I wish we could get them on here for a podcast interview. That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
Yeah. It'll never happen, but it'd be fun.
Gotta try.
Music's always been a part of your life.
It has.
If there was maybe one of your grandchildren or some kid down the street coming up, and what advice would you give someone who's just starting to learn music, instruments, what have you?
Yeah, and I've had a lot of kids and grandkids come up and ask me, you know, for help or whatnot. I don't do lessons. I'm not patient enough.
I
get really impatient. I would just say stick with it. You know, pick something and stick with it, and just practice. Lock yourself in your room for an hour, 2 hours a day, a night, and just practice with some records if you want, or practice with a chord chart, you know, learn your chords, just do something like that. And even if it's not guitar or bass, drums, you know, a trombone, trumpet, you know,
something, whatever,
find something and work with it, but you got to stick with it. I always tell people, you know, I got, you know, halfway good, just, I got sent to my room a lot, you know. What was in my room? Oh, I had a guitar. But I was constantly just playing to records and mostly the Ventures. So that's really dating myself. For anybody in their 60s on up wouldn't know who the Ventures are.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like surf music, you know, instrumental. But I would just say stick with it. You know, just pick something and stick with it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what your life would have been like if you hadn't gotten that first guitar?
Yeah, it would have been boring. It would have been boring.
Boring, or you might have gotten in trouble. Yeah.
Yeah. I was very mischievous. Yeah.
You spent a lot less time in there practicing, a lot more time out getting in trouble.
Yeah, that would have been me.
Yeah.
I'd get bored and I'd find something weird to do. So, like,
what do you think music has really done for you?
It's given me peace of mind, I think. You know, it's my release. You know, after a long, arduous week of sales or working, whatever you're doing, I can go in there. I just lose myself into it. And I find so much enjoyment when I'm playing. And it makes me want to play better because I want it to sound as good as possible. So I'm not a great player. I'm a good player.
But right.
I like making myself better and working hard at it. And I practice before we practice. I mean, I practice before we play. You know, I just want to be on top of my game because I enjoy it. It's my release.
Yeah.
Right.
And even though right now I'm retired, life couldn't be better. I've got a wonderful wife. I've got 19 grandkids. I've got six wonderful kids.
19 grandkids.
Yes. And
you know what causes that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, you know, I tried to put some advice out there, but nobody listens to dad.
Right.
It's been great.
It's interesting that you say that because growing up, I took piano lessons, you know, mandatory thing. But mom would always say she could tell what kind of day I had at school. Because when I came home, I had to practice the piano, do my homework, and then whatever chore she had before I could get out in the neighborhood and play. Right. Mm-hmm. And she said she could always tell what type of day I had by how I practiced.
Interesting.
She'd know, oh, she's had a bad day, or, oh, I think she might be in love, or, you know, kind of thing. And I didn't realize that, but I thought it was interesting that that's what she observed.
I can believe it because depending on your mood,
yeah,
the quality of what you're playing, or maybe the type of music you're playing.
Yeah, too. Right.
Yeah. I think a lot of writers, you know, they base their songs off of their existing,
right?
Something that's going on in their life.
What was
it?
Saying the most famously Taylor Swift in terms of now.
Oh my gosh.
We know all about all of her relationships that she's had.
I feel sorry for every one of her boyfriends.
What do you think was going on in their minds when they wrote Hotel California?
I have tried, you know, all I can say is, you know, they were probably dropping acid or yeah.
They were doing some
hitting the hooch pipe. I'm not sure.
Or both.
Yeah. Back in those days. But yeah, that was a pretty wild. The lyrics are pretty strange. And I think for years people were trying to figure out what Calitas was, you know.
The warm smell of Calitas rising up through the air.
Yeah.
And finally, if you Google it now, it'll tell you what it was. Yeah. But it's like,
we didn't have Google for years.
And it wasn't in the Webster's Dictionary. So.
if you're listening out there and you want to know what that is, you go Google it.
You go
it.
Google
yeah.
it.
Yeah, we're not going to tell you here.
Oh, gosh.
That's good stuff.
Well, listen, Bill, I appreciate you being on here. You want to, anything else you want to share about how people
do
can
you,
find your
yeah,
band?
Yeah, I was going to say, does your band have a website or a Facebook site? Or
VinylEscapeBand.com.
Okay.
And, look us up and enjoy.
Especially
there's
with
some
the
videos.
Summer.
I think we got a new promo video out
Ooh,
there.
Ooh, nice. So, nice.
If you want to come see the band, it's just a lot of good fun and energy. We like having fun and make sure everybody else does too. So, yeah, we're not going to just stand up there and play our song and leave.
Right. Yeah, it's a shared experience, it sounds like.
It is. Yeah, so we're having a good time.
Is your summer tour schedule, is it on the website?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah, I think there's even private gigs on there too, so you can.
I'll have to check it out.
We pretty much everything.
Usually by this time of year, I started just the last couple of weeks. I pick which concerts we're going to in the summer, and I've already got a couple of them. Mm-hmm. Already purchased tickets for a couple of things. So
she's gonna go see what's the one up in Ruoff? You're gonna go see. You're all excited about.
I'm making you go see. We're gonna see Muse.
That's not the one I'm talking about.
Oh, well, I'm making Mike go with me to see Muse.
Yeah, I enjoy that.
Always wanted to see Muse. I had an opportunity a couple of years ago. And I didn't take it and been kicking myself ever since. And then I saw they were coming. I'm like, well, I don't care what's going on.
I'm talking about the Salt and Pepper.
I know. I'm going to go see TLC, Salt and Pepper, and In Vogue. The three of them are playing.
I used to play that back in the disco days.
I don't think
I ever went to see them. So.
So I'm going to do that. I got a couple others that we're looking at. But we do like a lot of whether it's the wineries or the parks or whatever. That is always a fun.
It's fun to go to. I enjoy going to the wineries.
Wineries are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Concerts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. We've played one of them before, but going to see live music over at the wineries, it's relaxing. You can sit around, chat, you know, break out your picnic basket if you want. You know, Symphony at the Prairie is a good thing.
Yeah.
We've done that a few times. We did it last summer.
Yeah.
What was it? Michael Jackson thing, right? It was like a Michael Jackson.
It was a Michael Jackson tribute kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which was okay.
It was okay.
But the event was nice to be at.
Yeah.
But the music was okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, but at any rate, man, Bill, it's been great to have you on here. It's great to reconnect. But it's time for the random question.
Ooh, this will
you
be
have
fun.
To pick. And we made them up so long ago. I have no idea what's left in there.
Could be anything.
Okay. I didn't bring my glasses. So you're going to have to
read it. Oh, I got
to
read it.
But you have to answer it.
That was slick.
Yeah, that was good. That was very good.
They're supposed to read this themselves.
I'm sorry.
Who has been the biggest role model in your life? Who has been the biggest role model in your life? And you do, despite the fact you had me read it, you still have to answer.
Okay. Well, I would say, hands down, it would be my dad. My dad is, he's been my best friend, I think, through all these years. And he's still alive with us. Today is actually his 89th birthday.
Wow. Happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday, Dad.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Yeah. But no, he's taught me a lot. You know, through the years, I go in the garage with him if he's working on a car. We worked in the house. We did a lot of things together. And he was patient, unlike me, and would teach me things. And he's just been a great guy, great human being, good Christian man. And, he's still with us, and I'm enjoying him.
That's great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Mike, how about you?
I think you're supposed to go second on this one, aren't you?
Well, I got you.
You got me. Well, I'm going to be a copycat because it's my dad. He would be my greatest role model. He, you know, when I was a kid, if I would try to help him with something, he wasn't very patient.
He wasn't a good teacher.
I could never hold the flashlight in the right place, or I'd get the wrong tool, or I would drop something. But he tried to teach me to throw a baseball and catch a baseball. And I can still remember one classic time. He had me with my back to the house. He was at the other end of the sidewalk. And he said, don't let this ball get past you and break that basement window. Very next throw.
Oh, no.
Through the basement window. But he also taught me so much about spirituality. And he wasn't a church-going guy. He read his Bible when he was retired. And, he was at home all the time, which he retired when I was in, like, seventh grade or something. He would read his Bible every day. Never would go to church. That's a whole nother story. But he taught me a lot about loving God and making that my priority. And I've always tried to live up to that. And actually, the older I get and the more I learn, the more I understand how right he was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's making my appreciation for him just deepen and deepen and deepen as I get older. So I agree with you. Yeah, your father, it's also, my father for me.
Wonderful.
All right, Nancy.
All right. I'm gonna answer in a multifaceted way. So I would say my parents. And I think the interesting thing when you've lost your parents is you continue to learn because you go through different life experiences yourself and you think about what they did or would have done at that time. So I would say profound influence. I would say, in terms of impact, my brother Stuart,
mm-hmm.
he was 7 years older than me. He's still with me. And we talk every week. He lives out of state, but I feel like throughout my life, he has been that mentor, coach, protector, what have you. But I will say most recently, in terms of role model that I look up to, I look at our daughters. Because I see them and where they're at in their lives and the choices they're making and the courage that they show that I know at their age, I don't know I would have had what they have in terms of perception and choices. So I feel like even now, even though they're my children and they're younger, that I'm learning from them.
That's great.
Wow. We're getting all deep here.
I know.
Wow. It's great though.
Yeah. That was a good question, Nancy.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Glad you liked it.
Yeah, thanks for not picking one that I had to stammer on a little bit.
You want another shot at it?
That's all right. We're going to stop with that one.
Yeah. Well, this has been great to get to know you, Bill, and learn about your music and influences and all of that.
Well, thanks for inviting me. Sure. I appreciate it. It's so good to catch up with Mike and meet you, Nancy.
Give the name of the bands again, the two names.
Okay. Back in the Day and Vinyl Escape.
Okay. So folks out there, especially if you're in central Indiana, look up Vinyl Escape, look up where they're playing. What's the website? It's
vinylescapeband.com, I believe.
Vinyl Escape.
I should know that, but
probably
Google it. You're going to find them. Yeah.
So look them up, go see them, check them out.
Yeah. We'll see you there.
You see the bass player there. Go up and say hi, tell them that, the Cutter's Notch podcast sent you over.
Please.
And, I'm struggling with the other one again. Back in the day.
Yeah.
So, I don't know where they would run across that band.
We've played the Crump Theater there in downtown Columbus.
Yeah.
And we just had a Valentine's weekend party. We did that out in North Vernon area. And it was something that we put on ourselves, did dinner and a concert basically.
Fun.
Cool. It was a lot of fun.
Cool.
A lot of work.
All right. Well, some good stuff going on.
Yeah.
And, folks, thank you for joining us for this episode. Thank you, Bill White, for your post-production work. And we will all catch you next time on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast. Your hosts have been Michael and Nancy DeCamp. Michael is the author of several fantasy thriller novels and short stories that can be found on Amazon or ordered through your local bookseller. Visit www.authormichaeldecamp.com to learn more. His most recent release, The Purveyor of Death, Doc Moon Book 1, is a classic young adult horror novel and the first book in a new series. It's guaranteed to keep you turning pages. Nancy is Michael's number one fan with a love and appreciation for creativity everywhere. The Cutter's Notch podcast is available through most podcast listing providers. Subscribe to catch each new episode as it drops. You can reach us by sending an email to michael@authormichaeldecamp.com. Join us again on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.